I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Wednesday morning. I almost didn't get here. Two major impediments. One, a flat tire. Luckily, I had another car I could take. The other one, Hugh Jackson on the LIE. Stopped dead. I'm texting Al in a panic. I don't think I'm going to make it. Boomer's going to have to open up with Lou Lamoriello. Firing everybody. What are we going to do? But then it opened up and everything was great. We've got the Yankees continuing to roll and just unbelievably offensive performance again. Miguel Andujar, my goodness. I mean, this guy, talk about a guy who's a natural hitter. And then on the other side of things, you've got the New York Mets who cannot score runs, especially at home. Two runs in their last 33 innings. And they lose to the team with the worst record in baseball in the Baltimore Orioles against a pitcher in Cobb who had like a 7 ERA coming in. So great stuff there for the Mets, but the New York Yankees, well, they continue to roll 21 games over 500 for the Yankees. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing great, Gio. And I know that the Yanks got a little bit of dose of bad news yesterday with the loss of Jordan Montgomery to Tommy John surgery. They'll get a pitcher. There's no question about it, whether it be Chris Archer from Tampa Bay or some other middling pitcher from some other bad team. And I'm sure Brian Cashman is scouring all the options out there for him and the Yankees. But, you know, it was kind of interesting. I was listening to John and Susan coming back from our Hebrew Home softball game last night. And, you know, they were talking about how at the beginning of the season, John was saying, everybody was asking him about second and third base. Who's going to play second? Who's going to play third? You know, and obviously they signed Neil Walker late, and then they traded for Chris Drury. So essentially you had Neil Walker and Chris Drury are going to be your second and third
baseman. Brandon Drury.
I'm saying Chris Drury, the guy who's running the Rangers now with Jeff Gordon. But anyway, so you have Drury and Neil Walker going to play second and third. And then right after that, I guess it was right before that, that's when Andujar hit the grand slam. And he was just talking about Torres and Andujar now, and not so much Walker and Drury, and saying these guys are only going to get better. They're only going to get better. They have plate discipline. He's talking about how they just get up there and swing the bat. They very rarely ever swing at balls out of the strike zone. You know, every now and then a batter is going to struggle and they're going to go fishing for a while. But it's phenomenal, the youth and the unbelievable talent that the Yankees possess right now.
Yeah, and I remember in spring training when those two guys were sort of penciled in there, as you said. I mean, it was, well, they're young, and what can you expect?
We're not going to bring them up yet. We're not going to bring this guy up.
It's too much pressure on these guys. I mean, we got other guys. I mean, you heard a lot about that. And now you have two of them. Now, to have two guys, not just one, come up and be this good offensively, consistently now, is just amazing. Now, I know that being in a lineup like this helps a hell of a lot. I mean, it really does. You have the confidence to be at the bottom of the order and know that guys ahead of you are going to pick you up. You don't have to be thrust into the two-hole, the three-hole, the four-hole if you're Gleyber Torres or Miguel Andujar.
I think these kids care. I really don't. I mean, like, it's amazing when you watch young players in all these different sports, not just these guys for the Yankees. I mean, you just watch how they just acclimate so quickly these days. I mean, I don't remember like rookies like in my era just, you know, going out there and taking over the sport that they play in. And we see that time and again now over the last 10 years, I would say this has really started to change where all of a sudden the expectations for young players their own expectations, I should say. Not so much the expectations that the fans have for them, but the expectations for themselves are pretty much off the chart when they get to this point, because Torres and Andujar just look like they've been here for like 5 years, 6 years already.
Yeah, and even when they make mistakes, it doesn't affect them. And that's the thing that Aaron Boone always talks about Gleyber Torres. You would think that a guy who's that young, who gets called up and is thrust into this situation, there's a bunch of hoopla surrounding him, makes a couple errors in a game or throws a ball away or drops a pop-up or gets picked off, that, you know, maybe he's going to be sulking and head down to the dugout. No, bounces right back. He's hitting the ball. He's back in the box. He's doing everything that you would expect. I mean, it's so impressive. And now this lineup, I mean, there is not a single hole in the lineup. There isn't a single...
Well, the hole may be Gary Sanchez right now. He has had, he has had a couple runs here that, you know, he is probably the one guy that I would say right now, you know, Stanton had a rough start to the season and all that other stuff. That kind of stuff has dissipated a little bit. But Gary Sanchez has probably been the one that has been like the most troubling and most perplexing when I think about where he should be and what he should be doing.
Right, but do you think that that's going to be a full season thing with him? I mean, I'd be shocked.
I hope not. But I mean, you know, don't forget that, you know, A-Rod basically said he's the best hitter in the lineup.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, if your concern is the guy
My concern for the Yankees is basically starting pitching.
Right,
even though CeCe Sabathia did really well last night, he was great. He was awesome, and he did everything that you want from him. You know, that's the thing that I would be worried about. Now, the other thing I would be worried about, and I would say that if I were a Red Sox or a Yankee fan, I'd be worried about it, and that is winning the one-game playoff, because one of these two teams is basically going to be in that game. It's going to be in that wild card game. Think about these two teams and how well both of them are playing. I mean, both of them are playing exceptionally well.
Yeah,
I mean, one of these two teams is going to be in a wild card playoff game.
Yeah, I know. I said it a couple weeks ago about thinking ahead. You could have two 100 win teams at the top of this division, and one being on the outside looking in and having to play the one game playoff. I mean, at least there is a wild card. At least there is that situation, because years and years ago that never would have happened, and one would be totally out of the playoffs. But still, you play that well, you would expect to go right to the division series, and one won't. I mean, you got the Reds. So the Yankees are 21 games above 500 with a .684 winning percentage. The Red Sox are 42-19.
It's unbelievable.
They're better. They played better.
It is already awesome where we are with both of these two teams, and it's just going to get better and better and better as the season goes on. So, you know, the Mets lose last night, right? So they're playing a team that is how many games out of first place?
23.
How many?
23.
No, come on, really?
No, they're 23 games back.
No, they aren't.
They're 23.
The Baltimore Orioles are 23 games out of first place. And the Mets lost to them.
Yep. They had the worst record in baseball going into. They still have the worst record in baseball after beating the Mets.
All right, here's what we got to figure out. We got to figure out what the hell do the Mets need? What do they need in order to turn, if they even have a shot at turning this thing around this year? What has to happen?
And I mean, how much time you got here?
If they can't do it through the month of June, and let's say they keep dropping, what are they, 7.5 out of first right now?
Yes.
And they keep dropping. And I know we talked about this about a month ago. What the hell are they going to do, and what does the future hold for them?
Well, I am going to the game today, by the way, and I projected this as a perfect game to go to about a month ago. For me, day game against a bad team, weather would be nice, and now I'm thinking, what the hell am I thinking going to Citi Field today? But what they need this year, if they're going to turn it around, is a healthy Yoenis Cespedes that can carry the offense. They need Jay Bruce to turn into a competent baseball player again. They need Todd Frazier.
Oh, he did have two hits last night.
Right. Well, maybe he's breaking out of it a little bit. You need Syndergaard and DeGrom to be dominant, and you need somebody else in that rotation to be very, very good. And then you need the entire bullpen.
How about Steven Matz? Steven Matz has been pretty
good. Right, okay, fine. And you also need the entire bullpen.
Well, the bullpen was great last night.
Oh, right, last night. The bullpen has been horrific.
Yeah, well, here's the problem. When the bullpen is great, and the starting pitching is okay because Vargas was okay. You know, you can't get any hitting, and then when you do get some hitting, it's when the bullpen implodes.
Yeah, well,
it's like teams are going. The team itself is going in opposite directions.
Well, I mean, it's a classic example of a terrible team. You can never put it all together at the same time. But, I mean, the bullpen's not good. I mean, you can tell me all you want about how it was great against the Baltimore Orioles. The worst part about this team, the most frustrating part about this team, isn't even the bullpen. It's the fact that they can't score runs. And they can't score runs at home. I mean, Citi Field to them is just a house of horrors. It's their home ballpark, and they can't hit it. I mean, I heard Ed Coleman do a rap that was playing overnight in Harris Allen's updates. The Mets have scored two runs in 33 innings.
How about the Mets' average? 22nd in Major League Baseball, runs 28th in Major League Baseball, hits 27th in Major League Baseball, and home runs 25th in Major League Baseball. And their home record, by the way, that you were talking about, 12-18.
That's just...
12-18, man. I mean, you know, didn't you feel like the Cubs were going to come in here and just absolutely wipe them out?
Oh, of course I did. I mean, I thought the same thing of the Brewers on the road, and I thought the same thing of the Cubs. I think every team, and at this point, you know, you think about how the Mets can get better and who they're going to play. I mean, how many teams are worse than they are in Major League Baseball? You know, nobody's playing worse than they are right now. I mean, if you think about, all right, the Orioles beat them, they got the worst record in baseball.
Right.
You got, they're the only in their division. You've got Miami as a worst record, Cincinnati, and San Diego.
I mean, they stink.
That's right. They do. Right now, they could be the worst team. They are playing. They've lost five in a row. They can't hit at home. They're one of the worst offensive teams in baseball. Their bullpen ERA is through the roof.
I know a couple of guys were talking yesterday about how Cespedes, you know, is taking swings, but he would not talk to the press. You make a big deal out of that?
No, I don't. I mean, at this point, here's the thing. I'm so tapped out about being angry about these other things with them. Like, I can't even muster it up anymore.
Why not? You got to muster it up, man.
I can't. With Yoenis
Cespedes. I mean, you're going to the game today. What are you going to do? I mean, you're not going to muster it up for the game today? You're just going to go there and be miserable? What are you going to do?
I'm not going to go there and be miserable. I'll go there and hope that they win because they can't lose back-to-back games to the Baltimore Orioles. I mean, of course. It's just that, like, things like that now, is he going to come back or not? If he doesn't talk to the media, I don't care. What does that matter? What matters is he's got to get back in the lineup. Just get back in the lineup. Talk, don't talk, blow off the media, I don't care. Just get back in the lineup.
I mean, you know, hip injuries, quad injuries. I mean, I don't know, maybe he hurt his hip golfing or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, if that ever came out, there's some investigative report out there that happened, that'd be great.
I mean, how did he hurt his... I mean, I don't know. I'm just like, I guess it was a reoccurring thing. You said it was going to happen. Well, and then you also said that they were going to put Frazier on the DL as well.
Yeah, well, they ended up doing that. I wouldn't be surprised if Bruce goes on the DL when Cespedes comes back now. That'll be the new thing. Cespedes comes back, we'll throw Bruce on the DL now because he's got his back. He's got his plantar fasciitis. We'll throw him back on the DL. But he's breaking out of it
a little bit. How many times have I told you that every team should aspire to be what? What should every team be trying to do?
Well, go get younger.
Exactly. And the Mets basically are, you have Bautista, you have Gonzalez, you have Cespedes, you have Bruce, you have Reyes.
Frazier.
Think about that. Think about that team. That team, you know, maybe 10 years ago, you know, would have been just an awesome baseball team.
Yeah, right.
But you can't have that many of those types of guys on your team. You just can't.
Right.
And expect to win. And, you know, and that just, again, it goes back to the initial problem that the Mets have, and that is that they have very little, you know, in the minors that you could look forward to and say, okay, this is going to be our team in the future. Right now, it's just so disappointing and so disheartening. Especially after a team that started 11-1.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that team and who they were and their identity and how they never say die and they'd come back. And every time remember that stretch that they had where every time the opponent would score a run, they'd come back in their half of the inning and score a run. I mean, it was amazing. And what they came back, they were resilient, and now they're this. Now they're terrible and they can't do a damn thing. So we'll see how much they drop and what decisions they'll make at the trade deadline. You also have Game 3 in the NBA Finals tonight. And we'll see if LeBron gets one. And if he gets this one, of course, it makes it really interesting because then you think, all right, they're back home. They play really well at home, the Cavaliers. They get a game. They should have won game one. They're right there. Maybe they can tie this series in game four. So you've got some intrigue going into this game after a brutal game two for the Cavaliers. And this will be, I mean, will this NBA Finals be anything? It all comes down to tonight because we all know, you know, 3-0, it's just good night. No one's even going to watch game four with any sort of intrigue.
And I thought LeBron was unbelievably honest about what happened at the end of game one. I don't know if you heard him break any of that stuff down and talking about different things. And heck, he didn't even know whether or not he had a timeout. I mean, how do you not
know?
Well,
he was trying to call.
Let me ask you a question. But he wasn't really sure. And even he said so himself.
Yeah.
There are scoreboards all over the freaking building.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember when I first got to the NFL, one of the first things that Sam Weish taught me as a young quarterback, and I'll never forget this, we'd go out on the field, and I was not playing. You know, I was the backup quarter or the third string quarterback at times. And he'd go, Boomer, listen, when you come out here, every time you immediately look at the scoreboard, familiarize yourself with what's going on, where the first down markers are, and all the little things that he would say that as a quarterback you have to know. You just cannot be out on the field just playing football. You have to understand all situations, clock, down clock, down and distance, all of those things. Where are you in the game? Refer back to, what the tendencies of the other team are. And I remember he was actually teaching me as the game was going on. I'd be standing next to him like a little puppy, and he would say, okay, this is what you got to learn. This is what you got to think about. You see how many timeouts you got up there on the scoreboard. You see what the time is. You see the down clock. You find the down clock, and you work on it. You work on it in pregame practice. You look at the down clock. Get yourself familiarized with everything that's going on around you. And the fact that you have J.R. Smith not knowing that the game was tied, you have LeBron James essentially saying he wasn't sure they had a timeout or not, is really bizarre to me. I mean, it's crazy to me that those guys at that level and in the game that they are playing in right now in the finals had no clue what the hell was going on.
This is not an excuse. This is just a guess. But I think they were so screwed up over that reverse call. They were so angry about that.
Well, that's another thing. That's another aspect of the whole thing, like where you cannot allow something to take you out of the focus of what you're trying to accomplish.
Right.
I always think like, you know, and I always refer back to them because they are the gold standard as far as I'm concerned. The Patriots, when things go against them and, you know, Belichick screaming at an official or Tom Brady screaming at an official, I mean, it ends. Like somehow they have an ability not to allow that to affect the rest of the game or affect the next moment. I mean, in all the biggest moments too, by the way.
Yeah, and LeBron let it get to him. There's no doubt about it. I think he let it get to him in game two as well. And I think he's just so exasperated that all this stuff that he does on a nightly basis, he's played every single game. He plays basically every single minute. And then that happened to him in that reverse call. And then I think the whole team just sort of, even though they had a shot, I think they all sort of like lost their minds for a minute. And some of the stuff they normally do at the end of a game, they didn't do.
Well, look, we got a lot to talk about this morning. We had our softball game last night. I know Johnny in Westchester was there. Johnny, how are you doing this morning?
Hey, Booms. Hi, Gio. How are you?
Hey, John. What's up, man?
All right. Listen, Gio, I'm just wondering why when you kept throwing the ball back from behind the plate, missing Boomer to the left by about 5 feet, was that because of your hamstring?
No. I don't know. It happened in the first inning, and then after that, it was fine.
Yeah, after that, they took you out of the game.
Yeah, I took you out of the game. That's why you're driving me crazy.
But then I came. Well, you came
out,
too.
You were driving me crazy.
All right. Well,
yeah, because I needed a mental break.
And then you came back. Well, then I came back in the eighth. I came back in the eighth and ninth, and it was fine. I don't know. This is my explanation, John. Is I got the yips somehow. I turned into Mackie Sasser. It was all mental. It was all mental.
There's something mentally wrong with you, but I disagree with the Booms on this one.
No, well, I'm telling you right now that Boomer Ken, he has this effect on me, and I'm not blaming him. I'm blaming myself. I'm taking the blame here. I want to please him so badly.
You're ridiculous.
During
that
these softball games.
So ridiculous.
I'm serious. I don't care. I'm telling you the truth. Because he's so demanding.
You suck!
He's so demanding in these games that then it gets in my head. So I'll tell you, this has happened to me in the past when I was much younger. I played for a guy who played Major League Baseball. His son was the same grade as me, named Neil Heaton. I don't know if you remember him. He was a reliever. He was with the Yankees for a little bit. He went to an All-Star game. So Neil Heaton was my baseball coach, and he was very much like Boomer Esiason. And there were times where Neil would just lay into me and all this stuff, and then it would happen. I'd get the yips. I couldn't be able to throw the ball. The same thing happened.
John, I don't know. You know, it's a softball game against a freaking Hebrew home, and I mean, he's just getting all tensed up.
I listen to the show every day, and I made my wife come out and watch it, and She says, boy, that catcher really stinks.
Johnny, thanks for coming out.
Yeah, well, you're right.
Thanks, Johnny.
Listen, you're right. I told you, man. I don't know why. I turned it. I got it back a little bit. And you know what's funny is I could throw the ball to second base, no problem. You saw that, Eddie, what I was doing in the warm-ups?
I saw one good throw.
Well, yeah, at second base. But a couple of them I had down to second base.
I only saw the one.
Okay, you only saw the one, but I had a couple. I wouldn't lie about it.
So you say.
Very honest.
I mean, you did hit into a double play.
Well, two other people did, too.
Yeah, no, I don't care about two other people. I'm talking to you right now.
Yeah, you hit into a double play.
I think you had committed, I think there were you were responsible for, I think, six outs yesterday?
No. No,
was
not
he responsible for six or five?
No, not that many.
I don't recall the. I wasn't keeping track.
We have 27 outs, and I think you were responsible for six of them.
No. It wasn't six. It was. I had the double. I only think I got up three times.
All right, it's 620 on the fan. I don't know. Somehow you're responsible for six.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.